Hear God's word. Bless the Lord, O my soul, O Lord my God, you are very great. You are clothed with splendor and majesty, covering yourself with light as with a garment, stretching out the heavens like a tent. He lays the beams of his chambers on the waters. He makes the clouds his chariot. He rides on the wings of the wind. He makes the messengers winds, his ministers a flaming fire. He set the earth on its foundations so that it should never be moved. You covered it up. You covered it with the deep as with a garment. The waters stood above the mountains. At your rebuke, they fled. At the sound of your thunder, they took to flight. The mountains rose, the valleys sank down to the place that you appointed for them. You set a boundary that they may not pass, so that they might not again cover the earth. You make springs gush forth in the valleys. They flow between the hills. They give drink to every beast of the field. The wild donkeys quench their thirst. Beside them, the birds of the heavens dwell. They sing among the branches. Even your lofty abode, you water the mountains. From your lofty abode, you water the mountains. The earth is satisfied with the fruit of your work. You cause the grass to grow for the livestock and plants for man to cultivate, that he may bring forth food from the earth and wine to gladden the heart of man, oil to make his face shine, and bread to strengthen man's heart. The trees of the field are watered abundantly, the cedars of Lebanon that he planted. In them the birds build their nests, the stork has her home in the fir trees. The high mountains are for the wild goats, the rocks are a refuge for the rock badgers. He made the moon to mark the seasons. The sun knows its time for setting. You make darkness, and it is night when all the beasts of the forest creep about. The young lions roar for their prey, seeking their food from God. When the sun rises, they steal away and lie down in their dens. Man goes out to his work and to his labor until the evening. O Lord, how manifold are your works. In wisdom have you made them all. The earth is full of your creatures. Here is the sea, great and wide, which teems with creatures innumerable, living things both small and great. There go the ships and Leviathan, which you formed to play in it. These all look to you to give them their food in due season. When you give it to them, they gather it up. When you open your hand, they are filled with good things. When you hide your face, they are dismayed. When you take away their breath, they die and return to their dust. When you send forth your spirit, they are created, and you renew the face of the ground. May the glory of the Lord endure forever. May the Lord rejoice in his works. Who looks on the earth and it trembles, who touches the mountain and they smoke. I will sing to the Lord as long as I live. I will sing praise to God while I have being. May my meditation be pleasing to him, for I rejoice in the Lord. Let sinners be consumed from the earth, and let the wicked be no more. Bless the Lord, O my soul, praise the Lord. This is God's infinitely holy, eternal word. Beloved in the Lord, 40 years ago, my wife and I moved into a new home, and we had a neighbor. His name was Lawrence. Lawrence was a skeptic and an agnostic all of his life. There was no getting around his angry demeanor. When the subject of the Lord came up, he simply just did not want to hear about it. His wife, his two daughters, and their families had become believers. They were members of our church. But no amount of talking could convince Lawrence of the reality of God in Jesus Christ. When his son-in-law, who was an IBM physicist, died of an aneurysm, Lawrence tried to convince his daughter that her God was a sham and her beliefs were foolish. Lawrence did not live to see the day when his granddaughter would need that faith. His granddaughter was confronted with the horror and the loss of her husband, tragically and unexpectedly. Lawrence's granddaughter, Lisa, was married to the courageous Christian whose last words were, "Let's roll." Todd Beamer was one of the heroes on United Flight 93 on September 11. He, with the passengers, caused the terrorists to crash the plane into a field in Pennsylvania rather than into one of our nation's landmark buildings. What gave Lisa Beamer the courage to go on in the loss of her husband? How could she face the day when her children were told that their daddy was dead? How do you face the mixture of grief and joy that must be experienced when you deliver your third child, the child that she was carrying when she heard the news of her husband's death? Lisa and so many others, with some of us here today, have faced such tragedy, but we have faced it with the knowledge of God. We have faced it with the knowledge of what the Apostles' Creed calls the God who is our Father for Jesus' sake. We have a faith in God. Many have sat in the room when the doctor tells you it's cancer. You've stood with families in grief, weeping over the loss of a little child or a loved one. You've known the agony in a home that's ripped apart by adultery. You've known the loss of a family member who turns hard-heartedly from the faith and does not want to hear about the gospel. And yet you go on because you know that your strength comes from knowing that God is your Father for Jesus' sake. That's really what the message of Psalm 104 is all about. It speaks of God as the great Creator and Lord over all things, but He is our great Father, our gracious Heavenly Father, the one that we confess in the words of the Apostles' Creed, the one who is our God and Father for Jesus' sake. As we look at this psalm, we see that it tells us about the great power of God. Verses 1 through 4 tell us that. The psalmist calls us to praise God, praise Him for God's relationship to this world. He's not remote. He's not out there and, you know, not thinking about what's going on. No, God is involved with this world. He's at work. The world is not a wound-up clock. The world is the world in which God is actively at work, giving life to all things. And the poetic figures that the psalmist uses underscore that. Here in verse 3, he lays the beams of his chambers on the waters. He makes the clouds his chariot. He rides on the wings of the wind. And he goes on with images that tell us of how God is related to and involved in this universe. God is the one who's involved. God is not wrapped in light like some celestial tent, but the image here is that He is the creator of the universe who makes Himself known by what He has made. And the psalmist is clear, God is the creator. We should not then worship nature. So many do today. Ancient religions worshiped nature. They were pantheistic. They identified God with nature. They degraded their worship to worship God in a way that was wrong. We are not to worship God as though He were to be identified with nature. We are to worship the God who has created all things. And as the hymn writer says, pavilioned in splendor and girded with praise, this is the God we are to worship, whose power is sovereign, and He has made all these things. And through creation, God tells us who He is, shows His might, He shows His wisdom, shows His goodness, and demonstrates how we may know the grace that will make us truly thankful. And verse 31 tells us, may the glory of the Lord endure forever. May the Lord rejoice in his works. In other words, God has made all of these things. They are made for his glory and his power. And as you turn then to verse 5 and go through verse 9, you will see that the psalmist speaks of God's sovereign control over things. And we'll just touch lightly on some of the things he mentions. He's in control of the land and the water. And one of these verses, verse 9 says, you set a boundary that they may not pass, so that they might not again cover the earth. Remember that the earth was once covered with water, but God's not going to do that again. He has set a boundary for the water. It will not pass. He is in control. God guides his creation. God gives order to his creation. God has a design for his creation, and the purpose for which God has made it is the purpose that will be unfolded, whether it's the ocean depths, the water, the mountains, or the seas. All things are subject to the sovereign hand of God. He's in control of all things. All things. And he provides for his creation. Not only does he control the mountains and the waters and all of these other things, but he controls all things for his creatures. And beginning at verse 10, it speaks, and notice in verse 10 and following those words, the verbs, they're in the present tense. God is at work, and he is involved with you and with me. God is taking care of his creation, whether it's vegetation, trees. He uses the trilogy of wine, oil, and bread, which is a familiar trilogy in the Old Testament that speaks of everything that you need. Wine, oil, and bread always speak of the Creator's gifts for his children. He takes care of the wild birds, the animals, the goat, the badger. Everything belongs to God, the trees, the rocks. Everything that exists, God has made them all, and he has given all things the nourishment and the blessing that they need. See, God is not the God of the deist. The deist is the one who says that God has made the creation, but he wound it up like an alarm clock, and there it's running, and he's off doing something else. No. God is actively interested in his world, always involved in his world, sustaining his world, down to the very grass of the field, to everything that exists, because without his care, without his power, without his sovereign power, nothing would exist for a moment. God is the one who provides for the creatures of the earth. So, he is the one who is a refuge for his people. He is the one who is a dwelling place for his people, the one of whom we can say he supplies all of our needs. He will give us all that is needed for life itself, and everything that you need, God will provide for you. He allows for the enjoyment of life. What about your last vacation? What about your last fishing trip? Skiing trip? I don't know if any skiers are here. How about sightseeing trip? We're better at that, maybe. Or whatever you've done. Everything that you've been able to do has been possible because God is at work in your life, providing for you. And then the psalmist in verse 19 expands, and through verse 29, he speaks of the sovereignty of God over all things. Once again, he regulates time. He arranges it all, the moon and the sun. God made them because through them, he is regulating time, the sequence of day and night for work and rest. The earth and the sea, those images speak of God's power over all things. They look to God. All creatures depend upon God completely. Without God, we have nothing. God provides even for the mighty lion that he speaks of in this passage, who could not continue for a day without the care of an almighty God. God is in charge, verse 29 says, of the very breath we breathe. Notice what he says. When you hide your face, they are dismayed. When you take away their breath, they die and return to their dust. God is in charge of the very breath we breathe. He is sovereign over all things. And that leads to the conclusion of verse 31 through verse 35. God's glorified in all things. He rejoices in his works. Remember what he asks Job when he spoke with Job, where were you when I made all things? He asked Job where he was when God created the universe, and all the angels shouted for joy. Job didn't have an answer. He wasn't there. The angels had never seen a star or a sunset or anything that has form and weight and motion, texture or color, until God said, "Watch this." And he called it into existence. And they could see the power of God's mighty works. No wonder it says he rejoices in his works. His works exist to praise his name. We exist to praise his name. And creation glorifies God because God has made it. It belongs to him. And we are a part of that creation. And in this creation that God has made, we are those who have been given the ability to praise God for his mighty, glorious power. We, like the psalmist, can end with that last stanza in this psalm and say, "Bless the Lord, O my soul." Isn't that the proper response that we should have as we observe and see and look at the work of the Almighty Creator God? That should be our response. But Psalm 104 is not just simply a recital of facts about creation. It doesn't exist to help us with science. In fact, science can only deal with things that exist. But, you know, science cannot tell us how things came to be. Well, I know scientists try that these days, and they have the big explosion of things that, you know, there was this big explosion way back when, billions of years ago, I guess, they say. And all of a sudden, oozy slime came forth, and ultimately, so did you. So I guess we're no better than oozy slime, because that's what we came from, according to scientists. And how they come up with this and make it sound as though it even makes sense is beyond me, because they haven't been able to say, where did life begin? Scripture tells us God made it all. Scripture tells us God makes it all. It tells us that we understand by faith that the worlds were framed by the word of God. And that's why we can confess that God is the Father who is creator of heaven and earth. We're confessing that he is the sovereign over all things. The sovereign Lord who by his Son, Jesus Christ, has come to us, and in us he has made us to be his very own. And that's why we as believers are able to confess, a Christian confession, that God is our Father for Jesus' sake, because he has sent his Son to deliver us from sin and punishment and make us his very own. It's only the Christian that has this comfort. It's only the Christian who may confess that God is the creator of heaven and earth, because God has given us his Son who has provided for our every need. He will make whatever evil he sends upon me in this valley of tears turn out for my advantage. Why can he do that? And all things, because he is creator and Lord, sovereign over all. But underscore it, he is my Father for Jesus' sake. Because of this, I sing with the psalmist, those last verses, hallelujah, praise to the Lord. Is God your Father for Jesus' sake? Then you too can sing hallelujah, praise to the Lord. Amen.